We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight the White Shepherd. How are you this morning?
Blessed and highly favored. You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. If you have a praise report, you can send that to us in our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. I think I covered it all.
I think you did.
Would you pray to start
us up? You're getting pretty good at that.
God's faithful.
He is, isn't he?
He brings it to my remembrance because we don't have cue cards.
He is good.
I got the best cue card. I got the Holy Spirit. How about that?
There you go. And when you don't listen to him, you got Tina.
Yeah.
You got both.
Yeah.
We need it. We need it. Well, we better pray, hadn't we?
Yes.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, thankful to you for another day, Lord God, on this earth, that we can glorify you and allow you to work in our lives and to see and experience more and more of your goodness, Lord God. Father, it's pretty obvious to me that you could have taken us off of this planet, Lord God, the moment we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but you've left us here, Lord God, because you have plans and purposes for us, and Lord God, you want us to experience your goodness right here. And so thank you for this time of gathering together, Lord God, with like-minded believers, Father God, and for an opportunity to come together in prayer and receive answers, Father God, and to open our minds and our hearts, Lord God, to your word and be teachable. And Lord, we are believing you today for a word from you. And Lord, we're asking for ears to hear and hearts to receive and understand. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to just transform lives. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for those who made it happen and who are making it happen. We ask your blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I begin to think maybe the rapture would happen. I hadn't heard anything out of the Pyatt household since last year.
Yeah.
Last year.
I know.
You know, that was over a week ago. You know. But I'm believing this is going to be a great year for all God's people. And, you know, when I think about those who are trusting God for things in their lives, like Joe is trusting God for healing, and many others are trusting God for healing. Even myself a little bit here just starting out this new year. I had a little catch in my get along, my lower back. And I'm believing God for full manifestation of healing. And, you know, that's the thing about it. When we need what God has promised, he promised it. So we just start taking him at his word and speaking to the situation. Situations, sometimes more than one. And just trust God. Distrust God. Well, today we're talking. Have you ever heard the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? I'm sure you have. You know, Sharon says, well, that's not how it is with you. Your saying is, if it isn't completely broke, don't fix it. You know, it's like, what do you mean? You don't have to remind me every 6 months to fix that. You know, but if it's not broke, you shouldn't fix it. But in this world, there are a lot of things that are broken and need fixing. And one of the things that the most important as we walk through this earth realm that has been broken and must be fixed and then stay fixed is our fellowship with God. And Jesus is the only one who could fix it. We could never get good enough. We could never straighten up and fly right. I'm sure you tried. I've tried. You know, before we were saved, I'm sure there were plenty of times, I know there were in my life, that I thought, you know, I need to quit doing that. Well, I need to start doing that. You know, New Year's, people make resolution. I'm going to start doing this, you know. It's good. I think it's a good time of the year to look at your life and ask yourself what needs to be adjusted. But realize this, if you try to do things the same way you've always done them, you're probably going to get the same results you've always gotten. Anything, believing for different things from the same actions is in the definition of insanity, isn't it? So if our fellowship with God has not been what it could be or should be, what do we need to do about it? Well, we need to look into his word and see what needs to change. So we're going to open up to the epistle of 1 John. Epistle. I say, what's an epistle? Is that the wife of an apostle? No. An epistle is a letter written by one of those apostles, and we have letters in our Bible from John and Peter and James and Paul and, you know, maybe others. But it's really letters, regardless of who he used, the Holy Spirit was giving us a word. And when I open my Bible up to the book of 1 John, especially this, I've got the Passion here. I'm going to read out of the Passion quite a bit this morning, so if you don't have a Passion Bible, you say, well, I don't have one of those, and I hate it when somebody reads my Bible and I can't follow along. Well, get your smartphone out. Open up your YouVersion app, Y-O-U version. Get that in there. If you don't have it already, your smartphone's not very smart. Get that in there. Make sure you, and then learn how to use it. I'm amazed at how many people will download that because they heard somebody suggest it, and then they don't really use it enough to even know how to use it. But, man, it'll, you've got reading plans you can follow. Say, well, I've always wanted to read through the Bible in a year. I don't even know how to start. Well, it'll help you. Of course, you could just do it the old-fashioned way, start in the front, hand in the back. I don't know, you know, if you wanted to. Because, of course, if you do it that way, I'm going to tell you this straight up. There are going to be some times where you're going to have to really press in. You know, you get in there in Leviticus, and you're reading Leviticus, you're reading part of Revelation, and then you get all the way to the back, and you're reading parts of Revelation. Now, the parts of Revelation that are, you can understand them clearly and plainly. They're letters written to the churches, and, I mean, they're in plain old, you know, here it is, you know. But then there are a lot of things in there that are hard to understand, and they're hard to understand on purpose because the Holy Spirit wants to reveal those in his way and his time. No one knows everything about the Word of God except the Word of God himself. So it's our year to keep learning, and I'm still learning, still growing, still changing. You know, I'm not, I've been preaching the Word a long time now, but I'm still finding things, even practically every day, that I didn't see before and growing in the Word. So it never gets old, never gets boring. We're going to go through seasons where it's going to, you're, the enemy's going to try to convince your mind that he's like, you know, it's, this is kind of ho-hum. I call those dry spells, you know. Would we ever really truly appreciate rain or snow if it weren't for the dry times? So in those seasons where you feel like, man, I feel like I'm kind of going through a something here. I don't feel close to God like I did. I'm not getting the revelation that I once was getting. And you look and you search your heart, you say, well, what's changed? And, you know, if nothing's really changed on your end of it, here's what's happening. God is calling you to a higher place, a deeper walk with him. And you just need to keep pursuing him. And you'll find yourself back in that richness where the revelations are flowing freely and you feel close to God. And it's not that he has forsaken you. He never will. God promised in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. Here's one I wish he would have promised. I wish he would have promised, and you will never leave or forsake me either. But he didn't promise that. He left that completely up to us. So we're talking about things that are broken, and you know, if something's not broken, then by all means, don't try to fix it. But if you find that something could be better, you know, say, well, my car runs, but it spits and sputters and gets horrible gas mileage. Well, I think I'd fix it. It could be better. It is car. It does provide transportation, but it could be improved upon. Well, I don't know anyone, including myself, whose walk with the Lord couldn't be improved upon on our end of it. On his end of it, perfect. And as far as he's concerned, listen to me carefully. As far as he's concerned, when he looks at you, you're in Christ, you're trusting Christ for your salvation, he looks at you and goes, you're perfect. He really does. He looks at you and goes, you're absolutely perfect. I can prove that to you in the Word over and over, that God sees you through Christ as perfect. But that doesn't mean that I actually am. There's room for improvement. So today I want to talk about unbroken fellowship. Not in and out, not upsy-downsy, but steadfast, unbroken fellowship. Let's get together in the book of 1 John. And in the Passion Translation, my Bible, under 1 John, under the very heading, it says, God is love, first thing. Man, you will read about God's love in the book of 1 John over and over and over again. John himself, between this gospel and these three short letters that he wrote that are credited to him, he used the word love more than anyone else, over and over. The word love appears in John's gospel more often than anywhere else in the Word. Let's begin just in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. So like I said, if you don't have a paper one that you can mark, you know, see that? You need to mark it up, make it yours. Then get it in your smartphone. It says, we saw him with our very own eyes. Now remember, this is written by the one, the man, who imagined Jesus on the night of his betrayal, the Last Supper, and John is close enough to him, to Jesus. He's literally leaning up against Jesus, and Peter says, ask him which one will betray. You know, Peter has to ask John to ask Jesus, because John is the one literally leaning up against Jesus. That's who this guy is, who's writing to us. Now, here, I want to say this, too, before we get into this. When you read the epistles, whether you're reading John or Peter or you're reading the writings of Paul, they're not written to the unsaved. They're all written to the church. So whatever we read in 1 John, I want you to get this first and foremost. This is written to people who have faith in Jesus, who have received Christ as Lord. This is not written to try to get you saved. These are written to teach you how to live saved. Amen. Because we don't come into Jesus, we're born like newborn babies. And he says, sincerely desire the milk of the Word so you can grow. Man, we don't know all the things we need to know when we get born again. We don't know how to walk as a Christian. We don't even know how to crawl, you know. And we have to learn, retraining ourselves. So that's what we're looking into this for. We saw him, John writes, with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. The reason I wanted to read the Passion Translation is because I love the way they worded that, the living expression of God. There's recorded in John's Gospel that Philip one day, one of the followers, one of the disciples of Jesus, said, Lord, show us the Father. That'd be enough for us. And Jesus answers him and says, Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not seen me? Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, you've seen me. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. The Bible says no man has seen the Father. You haven't physically seen the Father. You couldn't take it. But we know exactly what Father God is like. We know what pleases him and what displeases him because of his word. And then that word became flesh and blood. And Jesus demonstrated the will of God. So John writes, man, we were with him. We were hanging out. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. And we know that he is the living expression of God. Verse 2, this life giver was made visible, and we have seen him, and we testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard about this life giver so that we may share and enjoy this life together. Here's where we're getting. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus, the Anointed One. Now, when you read that in the NIV, it says, we have fellowship with one another. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. And then he says this in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. I like the Passion. It says, we're writing these things to you because we want to release to you our fullness of joy. In other words, John is saying, the way I've known Jesus personally, heard him, seen him, touched him, been with him, we can still have that kind of fellowship. And he goes, I'm saying this to you because I want to release joy into you. See, in the fellowship, that's where the joy is. Even in the Old Testament, David knew in the Psalms he wrote, he said, in your presence there is fullness of joy. So what is it when we find ourselves not having joy? What's the problem? The answer is, the problem is, we're not, it's not that we may not have fellowship with God, but we're not letting that fellowship be all that it can be. Or we may be neglecting fellowship with God. You know, Sharon and I have been married since before we were born. I mean, we've been married for over 41 years, so we must have been married before we were born. You know, we have been married over 41 years. And I can tell you this, we've never, since the time we got married, not been married. We've been married the whole time. But I can assure you this, you know where I'm going, don't you? There have been times we weren't in really close fellowship. Because one of us, or maybe both of us, stepped out of that fellowship. Now listen to me carefully. God's not going to be the one to step out of fellowship with you. So don't ever get the idea that God's going to step out of fellowship with you. But if you're not having fellowship with God, it's because you need to come and have fellowship with God. Okay? So John wrote, I'm writing these to you because I want to release to you our fullness of joy. Verse 5. This is the life-giving message we heard him share. And he says it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. Here's what Jesus told John personally. When he was seeing him, touching him here, you know, all that. Here's what Jesus told John. God is pure light, and you will never even find a trace of darkness in him. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. That's what Jesus told John. He said, well, I don't get that. Well, let's keep going. If we claim, John writes, if we claim that we share life with him, but we keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Some translations say we lie. Well, who are we lying to? If we claim that we're walking in fellowship with God, but we're not walking in the light of his light represents righteousness and revelation of God, the known will of God. If I'm not walking in the will of God, can I say it that way? That's the light, the will of God, the presence of God. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If I'm walking in light, I'm walking with God. I'm walking in God. I'm in fellowship with God. There's no compromise. You know, I mentioned Sharon and I being married. Well, I can assure you this. She's not willing to share me, and I'm not willing to share her. It has to be an exclusive, devoted, committed relationship. And you know what God wants out of us? He wants an exclusive, devoted, committed relationship. If I want to enjoy the fullness of his fellowship, then I need to give him the fullness of my fellowship. That doesn't mean I spend every waking moment on my knees at the church praying to God, lighting candles, whatever, you know. That's more religion than it is relationship, in all honesty. What God wants to do, I believe this, is he wants me to have and us to have this time of intimate devotion with him where nobody else is allowed in that time. And we talk to God about things that we don't even want other people to hear. And we receive from God. We let God speak to us things that we don't really want other people to hear. Don't go telling everybody everything God says to you, because they're not going to appreciate it anyway. Keep it, you know, allow the Lord to, I've had to learn this because I like to share everything. You can ask my wife, you don't believe me. But I've had to learn that not everything God gives me is for everybody. So I have to learn how to process that. Some things are just a secret between me and the Lord. Not a secret like he's given me privilege that he never gave anybody else. But it's personal, and we want to keep it that way. So John's writing about that intimacy, that fellowship that we can have with God, and he had and the other disciples had as Jesus walked on the earth. But he said this, if we claim that we share life with him, but we keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves. You know what's funny about that? We may think we're fooling other people too, but we're not really fooling other people. The person who's being fooled more than anyone else is when we're allowing compromise, when we're kind of, we're fooling ourselves more than anyone else. Verse 7, he says, but if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share, here's where our title comes from today, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. I like that, unbroken fellowship. It never stops. It never ceases. And like I said, that doesn't mean I spend my whole day on my knees at the church praying, whatever. That means God goes with me. I go with him. He goes with me. Everywhere we go together. We share unbroken fellowship with one another. And, see the and? What happens there? And, in the, I'm going to say it this way, in the process of that unbroken fellowship, to me, the greatest benefit is there's a continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you live in a dirty, sin-sick world? If you live on planet Earth, you do. You turn your TV on. I tried to watch a Christmas movie, supposed Christmas movie, called Candy Cane Lane. If you've seen it, maybe you didn't even catch this part. But for me, it was so offensive I couldn't watch it. And it was rated PG. I thought, well, it'll be okay. It's, you know, it's on Prime. It's rated PG. Should be all right. So, you know, I like Christmas movies. I'm going to watch this Christmas movie. That thing goes along. It don't go just a little bit. And it uses a vulgar word, a word that most people would consider a curse word. I let that go for just a minute. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I let that go. I wasn't horrific, but I mean, it was unnecessary for sure. So I let it go a little bit lower, and then the main character, they come up to this place under a bridge, and here's this little, like, Santa's workshop kind of a thing. And they go in, and there's this woman in there, and he starts talking to her, and he's like, well, I want one of these ornaments, you know, and she goes, well, how do I know you have the real spirit of Christmas? And he's like, well, Christmas is all about people. It's about loving people. It's about giving. It's about that. He's hitting the nail on the head every time, except for he's leaving Jesus out, right? And he goes, and that's what Christmas is all about. He goes, unless you want me to go on the religious side of it. And here's what the character in the movie says. She goes, oh, Jesus Christ, no. I went, click. PG. PG. Apparently nowadays that means pretty gross. Pretty godless. I don't know. It doesn't mean parental guidance, because a good parent would guide you not to watch that. Why? Because they just belittled, they just mocked and blasphemed the name of Jesus. That's what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain, in case you don't know that. It means to speak his name directly without referring in reverence to him. And they're mocking what Christmas is really all about. And so I'm not having no part of that. That's PG. So here's the deal. If I continue to watch that, how do you think I'm going to feel? Now, I could have continued to watch that. I have free will, free choice. Jesus wouldn't have disowned me. I'm unsaved. You're unsaved now. You're watching that movie. No. It's like, no, but I'll tell you what would have happened. I would have felt dirty. I would have felt violated. And as far as my fellowship goes with the Lord, I wouldn't have felt like I was having fellowship. But in that place where I'm keeping it, we'll get to this more in a little bit, but when he shows us something that doesn't please him, we need to respond to that. And my response was to turn it off. And then my response since that time is to tell a few people and point it out. And listen, if you watch it and you watch the whole movie, don't condemn yourself. Even if you felt bad while you were watching it and you watched it anyway, still don't condemn yourself. But fix what's broken. All right? In this earth, there are going to be times we take missteps. If I was perfect, I wouldn't need a Savior. But I need to stay in fellowship with that Savior in order for this to happen, what we just read. If I want a continual cleansing so that I'm continually clean before God, that I feel clean, I feel good in my heart toward my relationship with God when somebody mentions the things of God or go to church, where I don't duck my head. You know, there are a lot of people, I hate it. I hate it when people, if I come around, there are some people that when I come around, just a pastor, just a preacher, and I come around, they start ducking their head. They feel ashamed of themselves. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. God loves you. I even love you. You know? God loves you. If there's something going on and you feel like ducking your head about it, don't duck your head. Lift up your head. And restore that fellowship with the Lord. I said, well, I don't even know how to do it. Well, he's going to tell us. because John wrote it. He knew. Remember, this is written to God's people. This is written to the church. He goes, I wouldn't have to write to you about walking in the light if it was automatic. Here, let me tell you what Jesus told me. He says, Jesus told me that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. There's no compromise. There's no shadow of turning. He's not this way one minute and that way the next. He's just pure. He's pure light. He's pure love. He's pure. He's purity. He's righteousness. He's holiness. He's all that, and there's no compromise in there. Like, whoa. And he says, and you know what? If you're walking, if you claim you walk with God, but you're not living like you walk with God, he goes, you're fooling yourself. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling the devil. You're probably not even fooling a lot of people, but you certainly are fooling yourself. And so he's writing that to the church to kind of go, hey, wake up. Come on, put your attention on this. Don't let this be the story of your life because you're not paying attention. But he promises us this, if we keep living in the light that surrounds God, his righteousness, his revelation, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. Us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all shall share fellowship. And the benefit is then the blood of Jesus, the Son, continually cleanses us. So I asked you a while ago, do you live in a sin-sick world? Do you live in a dirty, sin-sick world? Yeah, I live in a sin-sick world, so sin-sick that you can't even watch a PG movie. How about this one? I'll throw this one on you. I live in such a dirty, sin-sick world, you wouldn't dare read a bunch of the books that they're reading to first graders and kindergartners now. That's how sin-sick the world is. But that doesn't mean that we have to be overcome by it. We can, no matter how dark the world gets, we can still walk in the light. And when we are walking in the light, it's like standing under a shower. I like my best picture. I'm standing under a shower head. A huge, big, huge. When I remodeled Sharon's shower, one thing she goes, she said, I want one of them big shower heads. Well, we get on Amazon somewhere, I don't remember now where, we get one of them big, about 12-inch by 12-inch square shower heads. Man, when you turn that thing on, it's like you're standing in a rainstorm. And I'm thinking, you know, you're standing under that. Somebody comes in there, let's say your enemy comes in there, and starts throwing dirty stuff on you, you know, mud, poo, whatever, you know, who flung poo? It was the devil, you know. He's flinging that stuff on you, trying to get you to stink, trying to get you to feel dirty. But if you're in fellowship with the Lord, no matter how much stuff comes at you, what happens to it? Just cleansed right off. It's like this. How dirty would you get if you stayed under the shower head constantly? And the answer is you wouldn't get dirty at all. Because every time something hit you, every time some dirt got to where you are, instantly it would be cleansed off of you. So the key to staying in a place with God, you know, being clean in your spirit and in your heart and in your mind, the key to that is one thing and one thing only, is fellowship with God, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that can tarnish that fellowship, there's not another person that can take it away from you. There's not another being who's empowered to take it away from you. God won't take it away from you. The only one that affects that, little old me. Little old me. I mean, I always want people around me to be in fellowship with God, but the truth is, even if they choose not to be, I still can be if I want to. Amen. So he says that if we say we're in the light, but we're not, we're fooling ourselves. Let's see, he's going to say it again a little bit different way here in verse 8. If we boast that we don't have any sin, we'll never do nothing wrong. We're fooling ourselves. We're only strangers to the truth. But if we watch this, I'm reading from the Passion because it says it so wonderfully. If we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them, did you get that? If we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time. God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That you're probably more used to it saying this way. Confess your faults to God, your sin to God. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What's unrighteousness? It means you're not, the things that make you not right with God. So he's going to cleanse that. But he's going to forgive you first. He's going to forgive you. because you did what wasn't right. And then he's just going to simply wash it off, and then there's going to be no evidence that it was even there. But I love this part, the way they translated, if we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them. Now, I would imagine that most of us have had contact with people in our lives that we knew, or, you know, even people really close to us at times, that we care about them deeply, and there are things in their life that is just bringing destruction. Maybe they have an addiction. Addicts, listen, I learned some years back, addicts have certain character traits that have attached themselves to them that they're just going to act like that. They're just going to be like that until they're completely, totally separated physically, spiritually, and emotionally. There's three areas to be dealt with there. Until they're completely, totally separated from that, not just the addiction, but the habits of the addiction. Like one of the worst habits of addiction is blaming everything on everybody but you. It's a victim mentality. Every person I've ever known who suffered from an addiction or had an addiction in their life, even when they're delivered from the actual addiction itself, you still have to overcome the habits of the addiction. Like for a lot of people, it's almost as powerful the habit of the addiction. It's like it's part of their routine, and they don't know how to get past that part. Well, God can get us past all of it, but here's the thing. We have to admit it. We have to own up to it. I can't excuse it. Like, if I do something that I shouldn't do, I watch a movie I shouldn't be watching. I do something I shouldn't do, say something I shouldn't say. I can't get cleansed and forgiven by making excuses for it. I can only get cleansed and forgiven when I admit that what I did wasn't right. I made the choice. It was my choice. They didn't choose it for me. I chose it. I'm sorry. And I like to repent before God by saying this. You can make it your own. You can take it and use it, or you can take it or leave it. But here's what I do when I go before God almost every time. I mean this too. I say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did that. I wish I could back up time. If I could, I would not do that again. I'm sorry that it ever happened. I'm sorry for doing that. I know that's not what you want out of me. I don't want that. That's something along those lines. That's how I talk to God. And I say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then instantly, whether I feel it or don't feel it, that feelings are irrelevant in your faith walk. Instantly, I began to thank him. Father, I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that as far as you're concerned, it did not happen. Now, Lord, help me to live and act and walk as if it didn't happen. He's good at forgiving. For me, even forgiving me, I can excuse me. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can excuse me, but to actually totally forgive me and treat me the way God would, like it didn't happen, that's a process. And it's a process that I have to choose, because here's what will happen. If I don't choose that, it affects my fellowship. It makes me feel like, Holy Spirit goes, come on, come over here and be alone with us for a little minute. And, and that's where my fellowship gets, if not broken, but it hindered at least. And so we don't want that. God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have unbroken fellowship. So if your fellowship been broken or even just bent, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. Come into the light. Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. He goes, I'd love to. I'm all about that. He goes, while we're at it, let me clean that off of you so there's no evidence of it. He goes, I don't want you carrying that around. I want you to live as if that didn't even happen. I believe God thinks that way about us. So we'll leave it at that. And if you got prayer requests, we're going to pray and ask God, who loves us very much, to answer those prayers, to intervene on our behalf with his grace. So.